Welcome to Nourish and Align with Candace Nichols, the podcast for women over 40, where we empower and educate you to enhance your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Each week, we'll dive into topics like nutrition, somatic movement, healing trauma, and embracing your fuller self. Join me and our inspiring guest speakers as we explore the important journey of perimenopause and beyond. It's time to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, and walk in your true alignment. So today, yes, I'd like to welcome Jill Wilkinson to the podcast today, our very first episode. Jill, you're such a trailblazer for us. So Jill Wilkinson is a colleague and a friend. She also has a degree in dietetics. She has a master's in public health, and she's currently busy with PhD studies in health professions education. She's one of the people I consider one smart cookie. So I'm very privileged to have you here on this call. So the whole gist of this podcast is discussing wellness for women over 40. And I think you and I have many corridor conversations about how we weren't prepared for menopause. We just weren't prepared for perimenopause. We didn't even know what perimenopause was. I don't know if you knew what perimenopause was, but I didn't even know it existed. I thought I'd climb 50 before I felt the hot flash. Just to realize that isn't even one of the biggest symptoms. So I know you've dealt with many things. I think your journey is a bit more fresher than mine, and you've got more symptoms than I do. So I wanted to ask you about what you wish you knew. How prepared were you for this, and what are you currently, dealing with?
You know, Candace, I'm going to start with how you introduced me, because I think I must just bring myself down to size here. In that, yes, I think a lot of people think that, especially when you're an academic, you're some kind of smart cookie. And if I think about the modules we teach and the experiences we have in clinical teaching, we should be smart and we should be aware of these things. We in our teaching, we teach life stage, life cycle nutrition. And so we go through each of those life stages. We spend lots of time and effort teaching future dietitians about the importance of nutrition in the first 1,000 days. We spend a lot of time talking about, the importance of nutrition in adolescence and the issue of iron deficiency amongst adolescents and teenage girls. We spend so much time and focus on those life stages. And then when we teach about adult nutrition and we speak about women, yes, we touch briefly on estrogen declines and you become more at risk of this and the other, but we don't really talk about what those physiological changes actually mean for women. It's just, your estrogen declines and all of a sudden you become, it's more difficult to lose weight and da-da-da-da-da, but we don't get into the nitty-gritty of what it is that's going on and how it's affecting every aspect of a woman's being. And that's especially important because when this transition or this change hits, you're actually not, or let me say, you are probably in one of the most personally and professionally demanding stages of your life. You are, still building your career. You are expected to deliver an excellent quality of work and service to your employer. You are raising oftentimes preteens or teenagers, which comes with its own set of challenges. You are managing a marriage, a partnership. And then you also have responsibilities to your parents, other members of your family or extended family. You're juggling a lot. And so for us to sort of just brush over this life stage, it's going to happen and it's just normal and it's just natural. And women are so resilient. They're so used to juggling all these things. So, it's just one other thing to juggle. And I think that is the general perception, that we just have to step up and grin and be it and just soldier on as we always do. Because I think, you and I talk about it often, Candace, the juggling of hats,
Yes.
We are often that the struggle is real, but the juggle, I think that a lot of women do when they are trying to balance the books in the workplace, in their personal lives, we are juggling all the time. And I suppose in your in your late 20s, your early 30s, you do it because you have to, and because you have these young kids who are dependent on you, and you just do the things without questioning it because you make it work. So I think that we don't realize then that when those hormones start to fluctuate, and when those and they start to exhibit the effects, it has bearing not only on our physical being. It's not just that we are physically not as strong as we used to be. We are physically now more susceptible to cardiovascular disease, to osteoporosis. It's not only the physical, it's that really psychological, emotional impact that I think you don't see coming.
Can I jump in quickly also? Because I think when you're in your early 20s and 30s, you have more resilience, because of the hormone changes we have now. I mean, it does affect mental health. I mean, here's now study after study coming out on anxiety increasing during perimenopause, even panic attacks happening. Your ability to handle stress is just low.
It's
And
low.
no one wants to have that conversation. And I think the first time I went to now when I was started having, and I like this because it's new onset, you know. So if you know something's new for you, then you have to question why is this all of a sudden happening. So when I went there and the doctor wanted to put me on anti-anxiety meds, I was like, can we first have a conversation about why this is happening? I don't even know why why this is happening. And that is a big thing. It's like your anxiety goes up in your way you usually manage it is different now. And like you said, you're holding myriads of balls up in the air, and now your body is failing you. Your mental health is failing you. And you do, I can understand why women go into a panic. I mean, you go into a subtle panic thinking, there must be something massively wrong with me. And I think that is how
Absolutely.
menopauses have been labeled in the wrong way. It's put like it's a side thing. We don't talk about it. It's something your mother went through, and now you're going to be old. Like, you know,
And
like
now you're going to be old,
now you're going to be
and you're
old.
less visible. Yes.
Yes, you're not
Be less
important.
visible.
Yes, no. I
You'll
mean,
be less visible.
and I think that, I don't know, which I just feel like we're ill prepared. We weren't prepared. And I think you and I both feel like this is nonsense. We need to educate, empower, because this does not have to be this. We can get through this with grace and class, and actually look.
Absolutely.
Can we look sexy in photos and not have a walking stick and gray hair in the typical photos depicting, depicting menopause? You know, like that's also something that's. But back to you, man. What are some of the symptoms you have experienced, and what was it like going to your GP and like discovering, like, look here, I'm actually in menopause now, and how
I'm
you felt
actually
about that?
in. I'm going to start with a funny story because because I think that I, like you said, we don't see it coming. So, when I started to miss periods initially, I'd go and get like anxiously go to the shop and get a pregnancy test, thinking, knowing full well there's no way I can actually be pregnant, but okay, I'll go and get that test anyway. But then when I realized one Saturday morning, I woke up and realized that I hadn't had a period in 3 months. And I remember looking at my husband and saying to him, I haven't had a period in 3 months, and you know what this means, right? And he looks at me, and a smile creeps up, on his face, and he says, "Oh my goodness, you're pregnant." And I'm like, no, I'm definitely not pregnant. That is definitely not the issue here. This is now the change, this thing. And isn't that also so funny that we call it the
The
change,
change.
the menopause? We don't call it the pregnancy, the period, the menstruation, but this is like this ominous, the menopause kind of feel to it. Like this is a, this is the bad thing. This is the one that we don't look forward to. This is the one
You're about to enter that
Downhill. You're heading downhill now.
this bad phase
So
of your
that was
life.
like, I mean, the fact when it hit me, and that was must have been about 44. I was like thinking, no, it's too early, it can't be happening. But then, chatting to my older sister, she told me no, that was the same time it happened for her. And then almost like within months, the hot flashes, the sleepless nights. I've always been someone who I love sleep. When I get into my bed, even if even if I get to bed late, I could always easily fall into a deep sleep. But now these hot flashes were waking me up, making it difficult to get into a state of rest. In retrospect, yes, my anxiety. I think I always function with a level of anxiety which I'm used to, but definitely there was a change in that anxiety and that worry about almost everything, And again, this is something because we do it anyway as women, because we manage multiple, I want to call it mental to-do lists. Like you're always running the to-do list, not only for yourself, you're running the to-do list for each of your kids. Sometimes you're running it for your partner, the household, maybe colleagues. You are running a to-do list, right? And
It's a mental load.
a mental load that I could no longer manage. Whereas it used to be, okay, this is just, I can deal. Now I couldn't deal. And now it was upsetting to me that I couldn't deal. Anger. Aggression that I mean I think I am someone who I think I'm kind of level-headed. I can get pushed over the edge, but it takes me a while to
No,
deal
my
with.
friend, I've worked with you for years. You don't easily get angry, like, no.
But the fact that I was like becoming quite my fuse was like shortening. I was irritated all the time by everything. And I think, I mean, my husband as well, Candace, he's a very passionate guy, and he's someone who can get quite,
Worked up very,
emotionally charged in a moment. And when he said to me, I'm kind of scared with how angry you are getting. I mean, that was also kind of eye-opening that my responses, even though, yes, I'm juggling a lot, my responses were not normal. Right. So now when I think about accessing care, in that same sort of run-up to the cessation of my periods, I had suffered with bladder infections, with UTIs for months. I mean, I think I was going to the doctor like every few weeks for a period of of 3 months, and each time being put on another antibiotic and
Antibiotic.
another antibiotic, and I'm not getting any relief. I mean, a UTI, it sounds like such a simple, stupid thing, but it is such a disruption to your sleep, making it difficult for you to just. I mean, you're running on less sleep. You're irritated. It's painful. It's awkward. It's embarrassing. It's disruptive. And there I was, just taking the antibiotics and starting to also think, hey, maybe this is a sign of something sinister. Maybe there's, cancer, tumor,
And
bladder.
your mind
Those are
goes
the things.
there.
Your mind goes there, that kind of doom, gloom. And again, it was a conversation with an older colleague who recounted a story about a family member who had ended up in hospital because of UTIs, and who was eventually someone woke up and decided to give her Premarin, which is a
Vaginal
estrogen,
estrogen.
topical estrogen. And it went away. The
Symptoms gone.
UTIs went away. Right? And I
I
mean,
guess.
why was that not a what was why
Yeah, I
didn't
think. Yeah, why
did
haven't
it
doctors
trigger
make the link?
something?
Why didn't the
Now,
professional that you went to see make the link and say,
make a link.
we can't keep giving you antibiotics. We need to get behind what the cause is. And if they'd asked you enough times to be like, how? I mean, do you still get a period? Even if they just know that you wouldn't get in your period, they could have been like, oh, you might be menopausal. Let's try
Let's
this,
try this.
let's try this. Let's try vagina, because now we know that vaginal estrogen is localized. It's not absorbed systemically. It stays in the vagina, helps with the dryness, keeps it moist, prevents the UTIs, and any age can use it, whether you're 40 or 70 or 80. Vaginal estrogen has been safe. It's safe and
It's safe.
useful. And women don't know to ask that. I mean, you're a health professional. You could make a
Exactly.
connection. A normal person is not going to do that,
It's
I'm
not
a
going
normal
to make
person.
that connection. Yeah. And it's also, I mean, I think, Candace, it's also just the embarrassment of it, man. You know, how do you, I mean, because yes, okay, so the UTI, but also the just the vaginal dryness things, those changes. I mean, it's embarrassing to go and speak to someone about it. It's not an easy conversation to have, but I think healthcare providers should not, they shouldn't be shy to ask
I
the
mean,
questions.
I
And
mean, healthcare providers scratch
they shouldn't be
everywhere.
shy to
You know,
say,
they
are
shouldn't
you
be shy.
experiencing this? Yeah, they shouldn't be shy to say, are you experiencing this?
But I think women need to take back that power. I mean, you also know me. I don't mince words. I don't have a problem. I mean, I think you should go to your gynae and be like, this is what I'm experiencing. Please, can we have a conversation? And I think this is the point of why I'm doing these podcasts, because I want women to be educated so we can, so we don't have this. So our daughters are ready when they're 30. They know that what they should be starting to do at 35, and not have to deal with this. We were just told you're going to get hot flushes and you're going to feel crap and you're going to cry and be moody and it's going to pass and then you're going to be an old person. Like that they knew that that's where you are. And I think the point of this is let's empower. So you eventually got onto the vaginal estrogen, the
I
Premarin, yeah?
eventually got, I eventually got onto that, and again, it was me going to my healthcare provider and saying, I would like to try this because I've had this conversation with a colleague and I can no longer suffer with this thing. Let's try this. And then I tried it, it resolved. Right. So that was, then a lot of educate, you know how I got educated was through social media and through YouTube and going to seek out, experts and professionals who are speaking about these things. I went to see last year I decided, okay, let me go to a gynae and to discuss also where I was at and whether I was ready to consider any other forms of treatment. And I mean, it was again, I think the information about menopause, it's kind of, they don't really get into a deep, deep discussion about the multiple ways it affects your body and, trying to explain to you logic out why do you feel this way, why are you feeling that way, and so forth and so on. And the gynae then at that time I was told, oh, since it hadn't been a year, I hadn't gone a full year without a menstrual period, I was told that I'm not a candidate for menopausal or menopause
HRT.
hormone replacement therapy, HRT. Not a candidate until you have gone for a full year without a period. And I was offered an alternative medication in the meantime to manage hot flashes. I remember saying that it is it's this medication is being prescribed for the it's off script, meaning it's the management of the vasomotor symptoms like the hot flashes of menopause. That's almost like a side effect of the medication. She wrote up the medication, gave me the script, and that was it. Anyway, so I went and collected the medication without thinking. I thought, oh, whatever. I was so determined to have something to treat some, to have some form of treatment. I went and got it, and then when I picked it up and actually read the patient, the pamphlet, the information inside, I realized that this is a, it's an antidepressant, anti-anxiety medication. And I have no issue with with that
Yes.
medication, but I do have an issue with the gynae not telling me that this medication I'm about to give you to manage your hot flashes is actually an antidepressant or anti-anxiety.
That
Things
sh
you wouldn't need to tell someone.
it should
You know?
be disclosed because those meds change your brain chemistry and you can't just
Exactly.
go off them. You can't just stop them. You have to
Exactly.
wean yourself off, and it's something you should have been told. And just on
Yes.
that, also, I think it's such nonsense that you haven't had an you've had a period not for not yet you haven't had it for 12 months. When we know now that you can start HRT in perimenopause, whether you're skipping a few or still having some, it is a possibility. You can get some low dose estradiol. You can get a patch. You can get a gel. I mean,
Yes.
these things you didn't know, and now you're like, man, why is no one telling us this? Do they want us just to suffer in silence, or what is the goal here?
I think that, I mean, I've also done a lot of reading about how our medical officers and how healthcare providers are trained to manage menopause. And a lot of them will be, I mean, there's research, there are research articles, and they're kind of fairly recent. They're sort of not older than 5 years, where internationally panels of experts have sat down to talk about what the curriculum should be, because the curriculum is like, almost non-existent. It may be a 2 hour lecture, in their 6 year whatever curriculum, maybe 2 hours is spent on talking about menopause. And so I think it's not surprising that there's still that kind of big fear around HRT, that even healthcare providers will are still they still subscribe to that idea, right? That when you hear hormone replacement therapy, it's synonymous with increased risk of
Breast
breast
cancer.
cancer. And
And
so when you're trying to have a conversation about HRT, that is like the big take-home message that they give you. It sort of kind of instills that fear or enhances that fear. And so you think, okay, that's not something I want to consider.
Yes. Even
And
if Yeah, even though recent studies, even in the last 10 years, have refuted a lot of what that Women's Health Initiative study showed, that the benefits far outweigh any risk, and the risk of breast cancer is actually quite low. And look, yeah, I'm running out of time, but like let's just talk about the fact that you eventually got onto oral estradiol. You found a gynae who was willing to give you a
Not
script
a
for.
gynae, and this is the beauty of it, Candace. Not a
Not a
gynae,
gynae, okay.
gynae, a general practitioner with a special interest in women's health.
Wonderful, okay.
Okay, and I think, and that's also something that we need to maybe make known, is that experts are not necessarily experts by qualification, but
Yes,
the
yes.
qualification of being an OB-GYN or a
Yes,
gynae.
yes.
That someone with a special interest in women's health who does the work of reading more, learning more, and being brave enough to share and
Yes.
say, you know what? Here's this wide body of evidence that supports that for most women, after an informed discussion, assessment of your health risks, assessment of your lifestyle, for most women, when HRT is started early enough, within the 10 years of the
Yes.
onset of perimenopause, when there isn't an extensive history of family history of breast cancer, of hormone responsive breast cancer, especially, then you are a candidate for HRT. And it's early days. It's only a month in, but for me, something has lifted. So I didn't take the
Okay.
anti-anxiety antidepressant
Yes,
because I
yes.
was not informed, and I didn't want to be taking multiple forms of
Yes,
medication
yes.
without having a good reason to take them. I have started HRT, and I'm very happy to have begun. And it may not be for everyone, but for me, I certainly feel that something, even of that brain fog, which can be
Yes,
so
yes.
disruptive, has lifted. And I feel like, I'm not going to say I feel like my old self. I'm not going to say I feel 5 years younger. I'm not, but I do think something of that mental burden and of that I'm not coping, and I am constantly irritated. Some of that has certainly eased, and I
And
look forward to seeing,
yes,
how.
no, we will check in with you again on your journey, because I think it's also important for women who are listening to know that it's also a trial and error. It might take your doctor or whoever you're seeing, your functional practitioner, it might take a few rounds of playing around with the dosages and what works for you, because some women don't just need estradiol, they need both. They need estradiol with some progesterone. Some people even need some testosterone, especially, look, we don't even have time, but we haven't even gone into low libido and all of those.
Oh, yeah, of course,
Your marriage is going to suffer, what the doctor
yes,
wants to tell you.
yes,
So those are things that still get to be played around with, but
yeah.
there is now an opportunity for us to have these conversations and to share these practitioners who are willing to have a conversation, because I've now run into
Yes.
two. They charged me a bloody lot of money, man. I mean, I saw a specialist, 1,200 rand. The person saw me for 15 minutes.
No,
15
that's
minutes.
ridiculous.
And I
I'm
paid a
sorry, that's ridiculous.
1,200 rand. And
No.
we need to move away from this. We need to have real conversations. We need to go in empowered,
Accessible.
accessible, willing to have, find those people who are willing to have conversations. And I think I'm not aggressive now. I'm just want to, if anyone thinks I'm coming across that way, I don't go
No,
to
no, no.
my doctor aggressively, but I say, look, these are the labs I want done, and these are why I want it done. And you might not agree, but that's why I'm here. I also was put on, wanted to be put on chronic anti-anxiety meds, and I was like, but I don't have an understanding of why you're doing this. And thankfully, just like you, I could be like, but I'm not taking this because this is not the problem I'm having. And this is the point of this pod. I mean, this was too short. I will invite you again to we discuss further your journey. And I definitely think we must touch the low libido, and we will get onto the LDL, the cholesterol
Yes,
that just goes up.
absolutely. Oh,
Here we
absolutely.
are. We're seeing this. But I felt like a patient the other day. We see these patients in hospital and we're counseling them. And the other day when my bloods came back, I'm like, man, I can be a case study for students with what's happening. And you're like, is this all because of perimenopause? All because we lost some estrogen? And we give insulin to people who are insulin depleted. Why are we not giving estrogen to someone who doesn't have any if it's going to help with so many symptoms? So is there any parting words? What do you think you'd want women to know, from at least just what would you want to tell them and leave them with?
I think that, share, speak to the women in your family first, speak to the women in your friendship circle. Do not feel isolated and shy or shamed to have these conversations. Because it is only through opening up and saying, I'm going through this, that you can first of all know that you are okay, that what is happening is not abnormal, because that in itself can give you some peace of mind and ease that anxiety somewhat. And it can also help you. Those conversations started means that you can start accessing information. And I want women to be able to access credible information, good quality of information, and to not be fearful to ask for a good quality of treatment. I think that for me would be.
Oh, thanks, Joel. I think we both follow Dr. Mary Clayhaver, and she's also got a book called The New Menopause. So if any woman is interested to go and look up the book, or even follow her socials, because she does post lots of evidence-based current research and questions the current, the status of things. But my friend, thank you so much for doing this with me. I will let you know when this is up and running. And then we'll make another session sometime soon. And then I'll chat
Absolutely.
to you again in next week. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.